On this edition of the Iowa Business Report,
the amount of dollars being spent on tickets, merchandise, concessions, restaurants, the hotels. So the economic impact is truly significant.
Every Iowa business has been affected by the novel coronavirus. We'll hear about how some are adapting. Even our most basic customs and practices have been changed, from shopping to family gatherings. We'll have more. And we'll hear how some business owners combined forces to fill a need, and the demand keeps growing. This is the Iowa Business Report for the fourth weekend of March, 2020.
The Iowa Business Report is presented with support from the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. The Iowa Association of Business and Industry has been the voice of Iowa business since 1903. Learn more online at iowaabi.org. Here is Jeff Stein.
Every one of us has had to adapt to an ever-changing situation tied to the global pandemic. New guidance from elected officials has forced businesses and groups to dramatically alter their operations. Those who can shift their operations to remote locations like home offices have done so. Others have adopted strict measures from cleaning to the new phrase social distancing, all to prevent spread of the virus. But still others, of course, have had to shut their doors with uncertainty about worker pay. Relief may soon be on the way thanks to the federal government's multi-phase stimulus plans. Events have been canceled. Some are annual chamber dinners, others fundraisers for worthy causes that have shifted to an online donation format. Some, though, can be rescheduled. Earlier this month, you met Bill Menner of the Iowa Rural Development Council. We talked about the Iowa Rural Summit, which at that time was scheduled for late April. The group has since postponed the event. It's now to be held in mid-August. Last month, we introduced you to Tiffany O'Donnell, CEO of Women Lead Change. 2 weeks ago, they announced that their ICR conference, scheduled for early April in the corridor, would become a virtual, online-only experience. Earlier this week came word that a planned Quad Cities conference would be postponed from May to November. But what about businesses that depend on a certain schedule for their income? When we talked with Joe Green of the Waterloo Blackhawks junior hockey team in February, the team was in first place and enjoying success off the ice as well. But now that the season has been canceled, he told me that means loss of revenue and loss of jobs.
We made the right call at the right time because we did have some players from overseas that were able to get a flight almost immediately to get home. Even if we were to reconvene the season, there was no certainty that those players would be able to get back for the end of the season or the playoffs. But at the end of the day, it was the right thing to do. And ultimately, I think the league made the right decision, that the organization, our team made the right decision.
Talk to me about the economic impact of the Waterloo Blackhawks holding just a single home game at Young Arena. Because obviously you have ticket sales, there's concessions, there's ancillary income that comes into the community. Talk about what even canceling one game means economically to your club, your business, and all the other businesses in the area.
You know, without putting an actual figure on it, I mean, it's tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, we're talking 50 part-time employees just by the Blackhawks on game night. You know, that doesn't include the Young Arena's staff and the staff, their custodial crew, their full-time staff, their food concession workers. So you're adding on probably another 30 to that number. So when you add those things up and you take a look at our front office staff, our coaching staff, you know, you're going to be right around 100 people who are now out of a job for eight games and plus playoffs. So The economic impact is significant, but not only that, from an employment perspective, but the amount of dollars being spent, like you mentioned, on tickets, merchandise, concessions, the amount of dollars spent in restaurants around Young Arena for people coming downtown looking for a place to eat or get a drink before or after the game, the hotels in the Cedar Valley who are benefiting from visitors, player parents, visiting fans. et cetera. So the economic impact is truly significant.
Relief is on the way for Iowa's small businesses. Last week on this program, Jane Armstrong of the Iowa SBA talked about support efforts that would take effect once a formal disaster had been declared in Iowa. That has now happened, so applications are now being accepted for those programs. More information is online at sba.gov. Last month, you heard my conversation with Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate about enhanced electronic filing efforts his office promoted. They're even more important now in a work-from-home world. This week, his office also announced creation of a fund to support targeted small businesses, TSBs, as defined by Iowa code. Applications are due to the Iowa Economic Development Authority by April 10th. The governor asked Iowa schools to take a month off, and we're in the middle of that period now. You heard about the Waterloo Career Center on this program, as Waterloo Schools Superintendent Dr. Jane Lindemann explained the 15 different programs available for students. One of those was tied to careers in the healthcare field. Now that classes are not meeting in person, certain supplies are not needed. So earlier this week, the school district donated gloves, hand sanitizer, masks, and more to an area hospital. We also talked recently on this program about enhancing a business's potential through use of a business coach. Heather Marquez of Action Coach MindLinks talked with us about the concept and now is offering free seminars to help businesses get through this challenge.
One of the first initial things is being really intentional with the planning. We know we're going to come out of this. We always do. But it's whether our businesses survive and can then thrive coming out of this. And so there's got to be a plan in place to weather it, and then a plan in place for how we come back from it and re-ramp things up. Some of the recommendations that we've been talking about is just really looking at what were the projects that they had coming up that were maybe a nice to have versus a need to have. And so we're really digging into those kinds of things and then looking at how can we engage our customers or potential customers a little bit differently than what we have done in the past in order to keep up the interaction. We know people are going to be trapped at home. They're going to be stir crazy. They're going to want to be doing something. And wow, what an opportunity to, as a business owner and as a leader, continue educating yourself and your team and your clients on whatever the topic is for you. For us, it's all leadership and business development. So we're going to be focusing on providing education for that. But we all have our niche that we can provide education around and continue to educate ourselves. So it's going to be a great opportunity to not just sit still, but take action on maybe the book you've been wanting to read forever that you knew you needed to read about marketing, but it's been sitting there just sort of making you feel guilty. This is the time to do it.
And it's a matter of then saying, what's the most productive use of this time that I've been given for whatever reason so that I can then make myself better in a situation where it just seems everything else is worse or is confused, shall we say, all around us.
It can be a great opportunity or a great distraction for all of us who are now transitioning to doing a lot more remote work, or maybe we can't even work from home, but we're stuck at home because we need to stay there. We can either make a choice of binging on Netflix all day, or we have the world at our fingertips through the internet. And there's so many resources and opportunities. We can take our time to, you know, learn the skills that we need for the next promotion, or learn a little bit more background on something we needed to research for our company. So this is an opportunity not to be wasted. And there's a law in leadership called the law of sacrifice. And it's really about not necessarily making a sacrifice, but giving up something of lesser value for something of more value. And as a business owner and a leader, right now is an opportunity to define your values and maybe even redefine some values and understand where you fall on that, and then create some systems and processes to lean more fully into those values.
Still to come, how two of our most basic social rituals have been altered by COVID-19, and how what was a need for one business became a way to help a community. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com.
Many store shelves are empty due to mass purchases by people retreating to their homes for what may be an extended isolation period. But according to Michelle Hurd, president of the Iowa Grocery Industry Association, those shelves won't be empty for very long.
You know, I've obviously talked to many members of the grocery industry and store owners across the state of Iowa over the past week. And, you know, many of them, whether it's their fifth year in grocery or 40th year in grocery, all agree that they've never seen anything like this over their time owning a store and in the grocery industry. So, again, really unprecedented time for folks. I think one of the things that obviously we are hearing a lot about is how quickly goods are going off the shelves and the shelves looking empty, and really want to make sure that people understand that the supply chain is strong. If you see empty shelves, it's not because there isn't product there. It's just taking us a while to get the product through the supply chain to get it back into the stores. It's a demand issue. So I think that's been shocking for folks. When they walk in, and maybe the time that they walk in, there may be a bare shelf. That's temporary. Our industry is working really hard, and the supply chain is strong. So just a matter of time before we get those shelves restocked and it available to consumers again.
A very different type of ritual has also been affected by the prohibition on gatherings. Funerals have traditionally been an important part of the grieving process. That's taken on entirely different meaning now, according to Charlie Yoder of Kelowna, president of the Iowa Funeral Directors Association.
We ask families to, you know, use common sense. If somebody in the family is not feeling well, you know, they really need to stay away. We'll do everything that we can for them to be a part of it. We can, you know, we encourage folks to use the technology that there is today, use FaceTime, use you know, live broadcasting through via Facebook for visitations and services, so they can be a part of that. But it's just a time that I think everybody will understand. This is a unique situation, and definitely, if somebody, you know, isn't feeling well but they want to come and see their loved one, we would definitely make a special arrangement for them to come and do that at a time when there's nobody else here, and make sure that they have their time as well. And I think that's extremely important. And I think we just have to be honest with families, and everybody just, it's a unique circumstance, and I think everybody will understand. But we have to protect not only our staff, but we have to protect, you know, the general public.
Our thanks to Tim Harwood of Iowa Business Report affiliate KXEL Radio for the material used in this segment. Up next, how one business's need for a hard-to-find product led to helping a broader community. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report.
The Iowa Business Report is presented with support from the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, helping develop the next generation of business leaders through Leadership Iowa, Business Horizons, and Leadership Iowa University. To learn more, go to iowaabi.org.
In this week's business profile, we meet Steve Shriver of Ecolips, a company based in Marion. And as you'll hear, their business needed something during the pandemic, and that led to a unique partnership.
Ecolips was founded in 2003. My wife was making lip balm back in the late 1900s when I met her, and you know, I fell in love with her and the lip balm recipe all at once. And we saw a need in the market for an organic lip balm. There were natural products out there, but there were no certified organic lip balms, and Ecolips was born.
And talk about the growth of the company over that course of time, because it takes an awful lot for someone to say, I've got an idea,
and then actually leverage it into production and into distribution. Talk about that process, if you would.
Oh, yeah, especially when you're talking about a product that is retailing for $2 to $3. So it takes a lot of lip balm to pay the bills. Early on, in the early days, we were selling to just in our local natural food stores and co-ops and independent stores, and we were literally in production filling with turkey basters. So we were doing a pot on the stove and, you know, filling each little tiny chapstick container with a turkey baster. Over the years, we added more distribution, more stores, and added more automation. And it was a very organic process until now, where we're making, 20,000 units an hour on an average day.
I dare say there are folks who have a passion for a cause. It may even be tied to a product, but it's hard for them to make the jump from a business standpoint because of the fact that, A, it's risky, any small business is, but then B, when you are looking at more of a niche market, and I say that with respect, it's not a criticism, you're looking at a niche market, that makes the business plan even trickier. Talk about what it takes to be successful from the idea and from the passion, and how you turn that into something that not only does good, but does well.
Yeah, so you're right. And I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs where they've got the passion, but turning that into dollars is really difficult. I tell you what, it's kind of that thing where the harder you work, the luckier you get. We focus on, we've always been about doing good. And so we've always had this triple bottom line mentality, and it's people, planet, and profit. And so one major part of that is profit. If we're not profitable, we're not truly sustainable. So from the beginning, making sure that we have our eye on the cost, that we're charging the right amount of money for the product, we're not overspending in any category of whether it's labor or marketing or cost of goods. And then we have to make money. And what we do with that money is we put it towards future growth, and we give it we have enough now. Well, we did until this virus hit, but where we're actually giving it away. So all along, whether we were doing 5,000 a month in sales or 500,000 a month in sales, we had to have the standard of we've got to be producing it and making money at it.
So how does a guy who has an idea with his wife for Ecolips lip balm, how do you get from that to being a party to making hand sanitizer at a time of a global pandemic? That's not a logical straight line, is it?
So, no, not at all. I was looking for hand sanitizer online to buy for our facilities, realizing that there was none. Then we looked for the materials to make it, and they realized there was a global shortage of this stuff, and literally called up a friend of mine who owns a distillery, 10 miles away, and said, hey, we're in need of some hand sanitizer. You'll probably be hearing about this. That was a week ago. And since then we've manufactured 2,000-3,000 gallons.
So how does that work? Now, this shows my ignorance of the whole process, because I assume breweries, distilleries, I understand that they create an end product of an alcoholic beverage. It did not in any way occur to me that there might be a product in the process that could then be pivoted and used for hand sanitizer. So talk me through that, if you would.
Right. So a lot of these spirits that are made at these distilleries they start with ethyl alcohol, which is a grain alcohol. And that that product is the basis for the majority of hand sanitizers. And it happens to be one of the effective ingredients in killing the virus, the coronavirus. Right now, hundreds of distilleries are gearing up, and the FDA made some changes to the laws to allow distilleries to scale up production of hand sanitizer. So yeah, you wouldn't believe it, but one of the main ingredients that can fight this virus is the same thing that we enjoy in a cocktail.
So what else do they have to do to get to that end product of a bottle of something I'm going to use to rub on my hands?
Right. It's a very simple formulation, and we're using the WHO, World Health Organization standard, which is ethyl alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, a little bit of glycerin, so for moisture, and in water.
So essentially, you're taking the alcohol, mixing it with glycerin and water, and voila, that's the stuff that now some people are gouging price on at hundreds of dollars for a small bottle. That's all there is to it, right?
Right. No, it's absolutely true. And what we said at the beginning, we started just giving it away for free, and we gave away thousands of small bottles. And then we realized that there was a greater need, and government organizations and hospitals were reaching out to us. And so we said, let's scale up and let's save some lives here.
And so now, in addition to the one bottle per car drive-through giveaway that you folks did for a period of time, now you actually can go online, and this is the distillery's website, correct, where people can buy this in bulk, as much as a five-gallon bucket even, yes?
Yeah, exactly. And so we're, literally selling to the United States Postal Service, their various cities. The city of Cedar Rapids bought some. Hospitals are using it not only for hands, but using it as a cleaning solution for surfaces. So this also tells you how dire the need is right now.
And not to be flip, but this too shall pass. We will get to a point of being more normal. But is this a product that could actually be sustained? In other words, this partnership that you created out of a global pandemic, I mean, is this a product line that might actually sustain itself going forward in a different manner?
It could be. We haven't got that far in the conversation, but you get a couple entrepreneurs in something like this, and it really could be something that lasts a while. There are FDA regulations related to this product, and they have not loosened the rules a little bit because of the shortage. And so when they are tightened back up, it will be, it'll be some bigger barriers to jump through when the supply gets normalized. But I wouldn't rule it out.
Steve Shriver of Ecolypse, online at ecolypse.com. Cedar Ridge Winery and Distillery and Mississippi River Distilling of LeClaire are among those converting their normal operations to allow production of hand sanitizer in these unique times. And that brings us to the close of this week's program. We welcome your comments. Send them by email to radio@totallyiowa.com. I'm Jeff Stein. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a prosperous week.
The Iowa Business Report is presented with support from the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, sponsors of the Taking Care of Business Conference in Cedar Rapids in June. Follow ABI on Twitter @IowaABI and online at iowaabi.org.